Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
So good to be with you, everybody. Appreciate it so much. It is Monday, December 12th, 2016. We're at the height of everything related to Christmas parties and Christmas. It's really wild and crazy to see what's going on out there. I was in Florida when it was freezing cold here. I was in Florida last week. I was at American Bank Shares. It was a great group of people that I got to speak to, and it just brings in the joy of the spirit. So as I think of so many companies out there, John and Gina Cascuelas are great friends, and they do a great job in their company, American Bank Shares. And I know many of you are doing programs and Christmas programs across the country, and we're going to get into that next week and talk about what is going on. What is the way you can get and be a blessing into the markets you serve? I'm really excited about next week. I'll talk about that towards the end of the program. But this week, we've got Ron Vainberg with us. Ron is executive producer and hedge coach of National Mortgage Professional, UMPNPMPU. And very excited about the university, the training he does there. We have a great partnership with National Mortgage Professional, and Ron heads up the university there. And we're going to be talking in the Hot Topic segment, how to effectively lead your team and increase in production. How to lead your team to effectively increase production. So it's talking about leadership, production. Good thing was you're thinking we look forward to the new year. So looking forward to having Ron in the Hot Topic segment in the second half of the program. Again, this podcast is by Mortgage Professionals for Mortgage Professionals. We're the proud recipient of the Innovation Award of Progress in Lending. Very grateful for that. And we're also very grateful to have a wonderful partnership with the MBA. They have many conferences coming up across the country. Nash, the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference is coming up January 23rd through the 26th. I'll be speaking and doing a session there talking about operational efficiencies. But I was looking at all the programs that are out there, all the stuff that's out there. There's a lot of really good content that's going on this year at the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference, January 23rd through the 26th in beautiful warm Palm Springs. I've invited Alice Talvey, who could not be on the program today. And she said, let's see if I have this right. It's freezing cold up here, and you want me to be on a panel with you in Palm Springs? I'm in. So I hope all of you will consider, all y'all we say here in Texas, well, kids coming out to Palm Springs January 23rd through the 26th, joining in. There's many sessions. We're going to be doing a good one, and we're excited to be there. Also, the National Mortgage Servicing and Expo is going to be going on the Gaylord in Texas, February 14th through the 17th. There's many other conferences throughout the year. Encourage you to check it out at the MBA Conference and Education website. Also, while you're there, check out Mortgage Alliance. I want to also tell you that we are excited to have sponsors Arch MI, the creator of the new innovative RateStar program, Motivity Solutions, providing more reporting and dashboards and scorecards in a real-time manner. Very effective. Velma. We had Brent Emler on last week. Very excited to have him on. And Brent will be we'll go back and listen to this podcast. But if you're looking for an effective marketing solution, that's something you need to consider, Velma. Simplify, real-time electronic communication. Glad to have Nancy Alley and the team at Simplify, a part of the radio program sponsorship, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative, the power of the network. And then we have D&H, that great technology company helping you move your world forward through technology. And they've been in business for 140 years. They have 5,500 employees supporting 8,000 clients in 70 countries. I don't know if any other technology company that I know of that's in the mortgage space can claim that one. Anyway, check them out at dnhdh.com. DH, two letters. For their URL, for their website, dh.com, or call them at 1-800-815-5592. Also, special thank you to Alice, Andy, Joe, Paul, Sam, and everyone who makes this program possible. Special thank you also to Terry Sellers, who's our producer. She does a great job in the background making sure this thing goes off as well as well planned. And so we're actually getting programs lined up well into the new year because of Terry's participation. So anyway, good to have you with us, everybody. Let's get into what's going on with the markets. Joe Farr, good to have you with us. I clicked into your website here. By the way, how am I audio sounding today? Is it okay today? It's not digitizing too much?
You are digitizing a bit, Dave.
There you are. Yeah, I love it. I'll switch over. While you're giving your report, I'm going to switch over to my handset so we got a little pops line. But give us an update on what is going on, friend.
Well, unfortunately, I have to report that the slide in MBS prices is continuing. This morning, though, we're only down 430 seconds. We've been down a little more than that. So we're off the lows. What happened this morning is that the price of oil has gone up again. Over the weekend, there was a pretty major announcement from non-OPEC countries that are oil producers, primarily Russia, have announced a planned cut of production in the future. And, you know, just as when OPEC made their announcement, that has driven the price of oil higher, has driven stocks higher, although the Dow's up only just a few points today. And because of the concern for inflation has driven MBS prices lower and mortgage rates higher as a result. So, it's interesting to see that the voluntary response from non-OPEC countries is consistent, but it's also subject to actually happening. You know, these are all just announcements.
Right.
As we get into it, we'll see if it actually happens. But the price of oil has gone up and is now sitting at 50% higher than it was this time last year. So a significant increase in the price of oil. Last week, I can report that the volatility subsided some last week, Dave. What that means, though, is that we only saw midday price changes 4 out of 5 days instead of 5 out of 5 days.
It's so amazing.
It's been a wild ride, and that last week too, the depth of movement was not as great as it has been. But as I mentioned, we still have seen some fairly volatile movement during the day. For the week, we lost about 25 basis points in price. Not a big drop, but still, when you add it to all that's happened in the past, it's a pretty big move. The ECB meeting was the big driver last week. It was both in advance of the ECB meeting on Wednesday, MBS prices improved as investors expected to hear from the ECB an increase in their quantitative easing program. On Thursday, when the announcement was made, they did hear of an increase. What they were expecting to hear was a six-month extension at 80 billion euros a month. What they heard was a nine-month extension at 60 billion euros a month. They didn't like that, even though it's a longer amount. And when you do all the math, it's more. There was a disappointment in the market that the amount of the monthly purchases was going to be lower beginning in April. And as a result, they reversed the benefits that had been seen on Wednesday and then some a little bit. So that was the big mover last week. And then on Friday, we lost some as well, but this time it was on a little better than expected economic data. Primarily, consumer sentiment jumped to 98, above the consensus of 94, and it was the best level in almost 2 years. So more good economic data. Then let's look at the week ahead. You know, the ECB was in the spotlight last week. It's going to be the Fed in the spotlight this week. They begin their two-day meeting tomorrow. Their announcement will come out at 2 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday. A press conference is going to follow this announcement. Totally expected to see a 25 basis point increase in the Fed funds rate. And so what's going to be important at this meeting is what they say about future increases. And then also what they say about the current state of the economy and the euphoria with as being seen in the stock market. We're sitting close to a Dow 20,000. As always, that Fed meeting is going to be of importance to the investors and will likely create a little volatility. As far as economic data goes, next week, on the Wednesday before we hear from the Fed, retail sales is going to come out, industrial production is going to come out, along with PPI. Thursday is CPI, and then we start to see some of the housing data that is sort of post-increase in interest rates on Friday with the National Association of Home Builders coming out with their survey, and then housing starts comes out on Friday. So, you know, a big week ahead primarily because of the Fed.
Big week, and that's where the focus is going to be. Wednesday's a big day, a lot of economic data coming out.
It really
out,
is, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I think the Fed's going to trump anything going to trump retail sales or any of the other information that's out there. So, one of the questions that someone just texted me that I think is good, they said, "Love Joe's segment. Ask him what happens if the Feds don't raise." And I want my immediate response is, so I'm going to answer the question you tell me for right, is greater volatility. If they don't increase, then the speculation of when and how, it's just going to create more uncertainty, and certainty seems to bring volatility. Is that a fair assessment?
Dave, I think it is. You know, quite frankly, whether the Fed increases or not, the Fed funds rate has very little direct impact on mortgage rates in that it's short end versus long end on the yield curve. And so if they don't raise, that's got to cause investors to, especially mortgage investors, to question whether or not inflation is going to become a bigger issue. So I would be, number one, I'd be shocked if they don't. But if they don't, I think you're right. It'll create a lot of volatility, and I don't think it'll be necessarily good for mortgage rates.
Yeah, I think the assumption will be worst case, but no matter what environment you're in, the volatility is here to stay. I think even after this, we may see things settle down a bit, but how can people operate in a world without having a service like MBS Coldline? I just don't understand it, Joe. There's some that try, but I'm getting more and more people every time I go. I was out in Florida again recently. We got new clients signed up with your service. I believe in what you're doing. Yeah, it's an honor. I believe in what you're doing. I believe what the power of this service is. If anyone who's serious professional and you're not using this, well, I will challenge you to reconsider that decision. And you want to learn more, you can stay tuned and listen to this message. We're going to be right back. We're going to go out to Paul Mallows on the line. I always love to get some insights of what's going on in the market. Stay in touch with all that's happening. We'll be right back with Paul Mallows. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteland delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lincoln on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lincoln.
Good to have you back, everybody. Paul Mallow with IMF News is on the website. He's on the website. He's also on the line here. It's good to have you joining us. What, Paul, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine.
Just fine. Well, folks, if you're not getting this email from our newsletter coming out of IMF News' website, you need to go to their website, imfnews.com. Click on the link. It's free. That's a good price. Most of you can afford that. Some of you may not, but most
free.
Of you can afford it, but grab it.
You can't not afford to listen to it.
How can you? Yeah, you got to read it. Got it. A lot of good information. So let's go through the headlines today, my friend. What you got?
Sure. Listen, it's getting interesting. Even though it is year end, things can be a little slow news wise here. But first thing up, SoFi, also known officially known as social finance, that's that internet, whatever you want to call it, fintech firm, privately held at this point. They're writing the first non-agency jumbo mortgage-backed security, according to one of the SEC filings that our Brandon Ivy dug up. So the interesting thing about it, though, nothing on dollar size. There's 272 mortgages that were reviewed by Clayton. More info will be coming out shortly. But this is the first MBS by a fintech company, so that's notable. And we led with that. We also crunched the latest GSE buyback numbers. John Bancroft of our staff does that. There was a bit of a spike in buybacks for the month, or should I say for the quarter. And a lot of it's tied to cleanups. Bank of America accounted for a big chunk of that. So I should keep that in mind as a caveat. Anyone who's a seller servicer to Fannie and Freddie know that buybacks haven't entirely disappeared, but you know, they are winding down. And a lot of lenders, you know, it's just part of doing business. And the volume of normal buybacks is going to be pretty low, has been low, and will continue to be that way going forward more than likely. One thing that's perking up, you guys talked about rates and bonds and all that neat stuff. With Joe Farr, rates are ticking up and have ticked up 75 bips since the election, just about on the 10-year. And let me tell you, there's lots of chatter about MSR deals coming alive again. In-center mortgage advisors in Denver's working on a couple deals. Two $5 billion deals were told by Tom Piercy there. Mark Garland of Mountain View told us he's working on some stuff, and their deals are going to hit the market soon. There's also talk of two more $5 billion deals, so it looks like $20 billion might be in the market this week. And it's been pretty slow there. But, you know, it's funny. You talk to these servicing advisors, these investment bankers, and they'll tell you, even though this, you know, this rate increase has been with us for – you know, over a month now, a lot of people are, they can't believe it. It's going to last. And that's one of the, you know, the challenges here. You know,
that's interesting.
People to buy and sell because they think rates could fall back down. And anyone who's been watching the stock market, and you guys have talked about the stocks and bonds and the whole thing,
right.
You know, there's people out there think, you know, we could easily see a 2,000-point correction in the Dow because they think, you know, this is all – you know, this is all on the come, so to speak, and it's all expectations. And, you know, as soon as Trump puts his hand on that Bible and gets sworn in, you know, that, you know, if things don't start picking up pretty quick, you're going to see a big blow off in the stock market. And one thing people haven't talked about, and as far as stocks are concerned, there's a lot of short covering supposedly going on, too, because, you know, it's got a lot of speculators out there. So,
right.
You know, I don't know what to think. I'm not a market expert per se, but, you know, all these things sound very rational to me. And we'll, you know, let's wait and see what happens. But anyway, in tandem with that, we have a story from Tom Ressler about what Trump's going to do with new regulations and how it applies to the CFPB. There's been some former CFPB officials who wonder whether the reach of the administration can touch something like the CFPB, which is considered an independent regulatory agency, at least right now, with that PHH court case you know, still up in the air. And we'll see about whether they can stop the CFPB from issuing any new regulations. In the short take section, we talk about the 10-year a little bit more, as I mentioned, 2.51% on the 10-year as the market opened this morning. That's the highest in 27 months. Black Knight has been crunched on some data, and they said 700,000 more borrowers are no longer eligible for a refi. Joe Garrett's out there. He's a consultant with Garrett McCauley. A lot of people know Joe, and he's advising mortgage companies that, you know, are planning their budgets for next year. That's already been done, but he's telling, you know, mortgage bankers that you may want to go back and look at your origination estimates and your refis estimates for 2017 because, you know, refis are going down, let's face it.
Yep.
And there's just a lot more chatter about this and that and some people items, First Guarantee Mortgage, which I believe is partly owned by PIMCO. They just hired Brian Daly, and Brian used to work for Bank of America, Star, and others. So I don't know if you know Brian. But anyway, that's all the that news that's fit for today.
What's this one story you have here? Angela Mozzello, a good pick for is that a typo in there?
listen,
what's that about?
You know, I like Joe. Joe, that's from Joe Garrett. His newsletter's neat.
He
sends it out to clients, and he goofs around in it. He actually puts a ton of non-mortgage stuff in there, which I really like to read. About this
good.
And that, and politics and sports and history. And anyway, he threw that out there, saying Angela Mozzello, because of his knowledge of housing, actually would be a good HUD secretary, and I think that would be way true before Countrywide's meltdown. But you know, I think Joe's just
that's,
having fun throwing ideas out there. And
yeah, I thought that's what you were digging it from. Yeah,
I didn't even mention that you had to bring it up, David. So
I had to bring it up. Of course, I saw that on the wall because I think a lot of people's eyes are going to go to that and go, "What?
You missed that."
So anyway,
well, you know.
That's so good.
Hey,
Joe, Paul, you do a great job, and appreciate your comments about what, you know, all that's happening in here. Your study, the whole group, Brandon, John, yourself, Thomas, you guys do a great job of getting out there and staying on top of the stories. That's why I think it's such a valuable resource to many of our listeners. Folks, if you're not signed up, head over to imfnews.com. Get signed up. It'll end up in your inbox, and we appreciate the friendship and partnership up there with you, friend. All right.
Thank you.
Without further, you betcha. You have a good one, friend. We'll look forward to talking to you back next week. You bet. Normally, we'd be running over to Alice Alvey. Alice is out of the office right at the moment. Well, she's got some clients that came in. Alice is one busy lady, and but we're excited to be in partnership with her. If you're looking for somebody to train and get your business going, I encourage you to check out Alice. But without further ado, I want to run the ad for Velma. I want you to pay attention to this because we're all looking for ways effectively connecting with people. Velma is a great service. Last week we had Brent Embler on the line and did an interview. If you did not, if you missed that, go back and listen to it. It's on the website. You can download and listen to it. But reaching and connecting to people is so important. So let's hear from Brent and what Velma is all about.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
Simplifile has technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents via real-time chat and messaging, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, and validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arise. All of this in a real-time electronic communication exchange. And best of all, you have a complete audit trail of all communications. To learn more, go to Simplifile.com or call our good friend Nancy Alley at 1-800-460-5657.
So good to have you with us, everybody. We've got Sam Garcia on the line. It's always great to have Sam giving us a rundown and other aspects of the news. So, Sam, good to have you. Was it, you know, those Cowboys? What happened last night?
Yeah, let's just move on to the news, all right?
So much for that. Yeah, my Seahawks, same thing, man. It was just not a good day for football for us. We're following the Hawks and the Cowboys, but that was a disappointing game to put on my alley. But let's get over to the news. So run through some of the stuff that you're looking at, Sam.
Yeah, sure. Last week, the Mortgage Bankers Association, they put out their mortgage production profits report for the third quarter. It's pretty detailed. I mean, that's a long report. It's got a lot of good metrics in it. One of the things we reported on was net production and income. And, of course, this is at independent lenders or banking or mortgage subsidiaries of banks. But net production income was 78 basis points in the third quarter. It was better than 73 basis points 3 months earlier and much better than 55 basis points a year earlier. And what, you know, when you dig in, the net income was really boosted by lower production expense as, of course, originations have been higher lately. And we saw that production expense was cut to 291 basis points from 299 in the second quarter and 306 a year earlier. So those production expenses really helped out quite a bit. And, of course, as average originations go, production expense tend to fall as far as by on a basis point basis. One other interesting metric I think from that report is the average loan origination fee. That was 46 basis points in the latest report, so that's up like from 41 in the prior one. Over at CoreLogic, they put out a report, and that indicates that the average U.S. loan-to-value ratio was 55.4% in the third quarter. And, of course, as loan-to-value ratios decline, that means lenders are in better position as far as the equity they have invested in a particular loan. So we saw it drop to 55.4 from 56% a year ago. And in addition, of course, to lenders being in a better position the borrowers are in a better position, too. So everybody's better off when loan-to-values are dropping and, of course, property values are rising, and that's what that, you know, is based on.
Right.
And, again, it was actually 57.3% is where the average was a year ago. In Hawaii, it was 44.1% average loan to value. That's the lowest in the nation. So, you know, the place with the best equity, we'll say. The other side of that scale, it's Oklahoma, where the average is 67.4% average loan to value. Finance of America, as part of our mortgage origination survey, they provided some data about their operations, and they closed $5.5 billion in the third quarter. Business shot up from 3 months earlier by a quarter or 25%, and it was up 94% from a year earlier. So they've seen some pretty spectacular growth over this last year. Their staff is actually grown to 3,600 people from they had just 2,650 a year ago. So, you know, they're adding people to cover some of this growth here. Our mortgage market index, you know, which we derive from open close data on rate locks, was up 22% last week. It was the second week in a row business was up. And, you know, like I mentioned last week, it's a little bit odd given that rates are up. So we talked to open close senior vice president Vince Fury, and he speculated that this surge recently in lock activity was likely due to the originators preserving their fundable pipeline, and they have expectations of a Fed rate hike this week, so they're kind of trying to get ahead of the game there and keep some value on, you know, the pipeline they already have. VantageScore put out a new default risk index last week. It's a measure of relative changes in risk level, and it's benchmarked against the third quarter of 2013, the base period. And based on that index, the probability of default on mortgages that were originated in the second quarter of this year was 0.99%. And what's more significant is that was a nice improvement from one quarter earlier when it was 1.06% probability of risk default. And last year at the same time, 1.41%. So just in general, there's less risk of default on more recent originations. And, you know, you combine that with some of the other stuff we've seen.
That's
always good news. Anyway, one other thing, you know, I heard Paul mention SoFi, another marketplace lender, Lending Home Funding. They reported last week that they've originated $1 billion in mortgages since they've opened in 2013. They're in San Francisco, and they've grown their staff from just 85 people back in May 2015 to more than 250 people currently. So they're seeing some pretty good growth, too.
Do you know if they're a traditional conforming lender, or are they a non-conforming lender like SoFi?
It looked like they had a whole range of different products there, actually. So, and, you know, they've got a platform now that they've come out with so they can do some securitizations. We'll see where that takes them.
Yeah, really interesting. Very, very interesting. It's always good to have you on, Sam. You got a great amount of information on your website. For those that have not gone to your website, encourage them to do so, mortgagedaily.com, or give Sam a call at 214-521-1300. Appreciate you being on the line so much. Have a great one.
Always a pleasure. Happy holidays.
Yeah, rooting. Happy holidays and rooting for the Cowboys here. Maybe they, gosh, this losing by three. Come on. What is that about? Anyway, we'll try to put that behind us. All right. Folks, we're going to be right back. We're going to be right back after this brief break.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
You know, we're always trying to find places where we can save money and help our clients save money. And that's the most important thing we do, is we're here to serve the borrower, get them the best possible deal. And I think when you're looking at that, for those people that are needing MI insurance, it is so important that you have the tools necessary so you can get them the latest rates. I want to ask you, have you checked out Arch MI's RateStar program? If you haven't, listen to this message. I encourage you to get a hold of the local representative. Here's Jim Jump.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on, and we're happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. And today I'd like again to talk about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar is a revolutionary tool that allows mortgage originators to dynamically price mortgage insurance and match coverage to Archemy's most competitive rates. And that's important because it allows you to compete more effectively, qualify more borrowers, and of course, close more loans. That's the power of RateStar. Originators from around the country are letting us know just how quick and easy RateStar is to use. And all you need is your NMLS number, and you can access RateStar anywhere, anytime, using multiple points of entry, including most LOS systems, product and pricing engines, and through our websites at archmi.com and archmicu.com for credit unions. And of course, it's available through our mobile app for smartphones and tablets. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. You just touch, tap, and go. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive Archemy rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. And I have to tell you, David, getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you and say thanks. Have a great day, everybody.
So true. It is easy, and it's wonderful to be able to help our customers save money, as well as your customers. I'm not in the lending business. My customers are you, the mortgage lenders, and we're thrilled to be here with you each and every week, having you take us into your lives by tuning in and listening live. Many of you are dialed in. I can't believe the number of people dialed in on the phone line. It just amazes to me. And then also, many, many more are dialed in via the internet. They're listening on cell phones. They're listening with their computers while at the desk. Many are also downloading, doing this while they're driving, commuting, or even working out. So we appreciate this, who you're with, by spending time with us. I was reading a quote earlier, and I thought it was significant. It said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." In other words, your net worth is the average of those people. Your focus on the industry is or your focus on your career. I mean, you are the average of all those aspects of the five people that you spend the most time with. So who are you spending time with? One of the guys I get to spend time with is our next guest, Ron Vainberg. And I'm really excited to have Ron on the call. We have a relationship with many good coaches out there, a host of them. We know most of them. And there's some – I mean, I think everyone has their heart in the right place. I really like Ron's approach as well as what some of the others are doing out there. But each of them have their own fingerprint, and it's so important – you get to know them. So we've invited Ron Vainberg to join us on the call. Ron, are you there?
I'm here, Dave. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, such a good. Ron, you're a 26-year veteran of the mortgage industry. You're the executive director and head coach for National Mortgage Professionals University, which is a division of the National Mortgage Professional Magazine. You're a leading speaker. You're a trainer. You're a strategic coach. I want to get into some of the strategic things you're doing. And you're doing it to some of the top producers and loan officers, account executives across the United States. So it's really interesting to get in and understand your unique approach to how you implement success strategies. So we're going to be talking about the topic is how to get more volume and strategies to get more volume in the new year. So let's get on into it. It's really great to have you with us. And let's talk about why this is such an important topic for many managers and team leaders, and it's how to effectively lead your team to increase production. So give us some thoughts on that, Ron.
Well, Dave, I mean, one of the biggest things is that in through coaching, through training, a lot of times managers will come to me and they're frustrated that they're not able to get their salespeople to where they want them to be. And a lot of it has to do with how they put their planning system with their loan officers or their account executives together. You know, one of the things I often talk about in just marketing with salespeople is they do one-and-done marketing. They go out there, they try something, it doesn't work, and a lot of times they won't continue to do it. Well, what a lot of managers do in their goal setting and their planning, it's almost akin to one and done, because what they do is they go out, they sit down with their salespeople, and there's a bunch of things that create issues with how the goal setting is done, but they sit down, they talk about their plan, and a lot of times they don't really check in with the loan officer or the account executive, you know, their sales team, other than just trying to reinforce the goal versus really digging in as to why the goal is not being achieved. And a lot of times that has to do with because it wasn't even set up properly from the beginning.
Really interesting. I mean, so when you look at how someone does a one-and-done versus a program, I want to get into that, and that is really –
down the area of your expertise. You're a national trainer, you're a coach to loan officers and managers and mortgage owners, company owners, and it's not just retail, it's also wholesale and correspondent executives. And what do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing managers when it comes to leadership and motivation, two of my favorite topics, and as it relates to how to increase production with their sales teams?
Well, and those are two actually different components that come into play with getting people where you want them to be. When it comes to
When you talk about the two components, you mean the wholesale and correspondent?
No, leadership and motivation.
Oh, the leadership and motivation. Okay, I want to make sure we clarify that for our listeners. Okay, so the leadership and motivation. I'd love to get in. Yeah, explain that.
Yes. Okay, well, from the leadership perspective, what happens is, unfortunately or fortunately, a lot of managers have a mindset, and their mindset is if my salespeople just did what I would do, they'd be successful. The problem is, and I always joke with my clients, I go, if they were just like you, they probably wouldn't be working for you. They'd probably be working for someone else, and they'd probably be your competition. So one of the things from a leadership standpoint is that a lot of people in leadership positions, and I'm not trying to make a blanket statement because that is not true, but there are many managers, especially in the smaller to mid-level mortgage companies, that really don't understand the components of leadership. And what they also don't understand is that their motivation for someone to succeed is not necessarily that person's motivation. There are key things that have to be done to put the leadership in motion, to put the goals in motion, to put the plans in motion. And a lot of the leaders are so busy, a lot of the company owners in the small businesses, they're so busy doing their own production that they don't have time to work with their salespeople. From a motivational perspective, I mean, I'm assuming, does that part make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, it does.
From the motivational aspect of it, I just kind of hinted at this a second ago. From the motivational perspective, it's if I'm motivated by one thing, if you're motivated by something else, my motivation, my reason for achieving whatever my goals are doesn't mean anything to you. And, we are in the money business, but it's not about the money. It's about what money allows you to do. So different people will have their own motivations, and it's amazing that when it comes to goal setting, traditional goal setting, we talk about, production numbers, pull-through, fallout, conversion, and all of those things are very, very important. But if that's all you do and you don't find out what's going to get that person into work every day, what's going to inspire them, what's going to motivate them, if you don't uncover that, then what you're doing is you're just pushing numbers at them. They're giving you numbers, and unfortunately, a lot of loan officers, a lot of AEs, I've seen this. They tell their managers what they want to hear, or they tell them a number that is their wish number, but it's not really their commitment number. And those numbers are very often very different.
Hey, Joe, I know you got to cut and run here because you got a meeting to go to. I want to bring you into the discussion and let you ask any questions or Ron that come to top of mind. Throwing the mic to you here in the last minute. I'm just looking at the time. I know you have to exit out here. I want to make sure you get any questions in your customers would like to have answered by Ron.
Well, you talk about the growth and leadership plan, and I just want you to dig into that a little deeper. What do you mean by a growth plan? And is that something that every manager should have?
Well, I believe that a lot of managers, and this is a great question, Joe. I think a lot of managers have growth plans. The problem is that the depth isn't there. And when I say a manager's plan, they have their branch plan or their company plan, but how that gets disseminated down to their sales force, their sales team, it's not getting deep enough there. If it's deep enough at the top, sometimes it's just not getting deep enough. And what I'm talking about is a couple of things. The way I break down goal setting is into five components. And the first component is goals. Okay, it's coming up with those numbers, those metrics that can be actually measured, the results. But then you have the additional piece, which is finding out someone's why, which is what I was just talking about, motivation. If somebody's why, and there's a lot of talk about, there's a lot of books that have been coming out as of late. I mean, not that I've written on this topic, but I've been talking about it for years. And if someone is not clear on their why, then their performance is not going to be where they want it to be. The expression I always use in my programs is, if somebody's why is big enough, they'll always find a way. So if we don't...
That's a great statement.
Thank you. And unfortunately, again, coming back to what I said before, managers are so busy with their own production, and their own why is super clear to them. They're so busy with what they need to do that they just talk numbers with their salespeople. They don't talk about that next step in motivation. I mean, there's more pieces to getting deeper or getting a plan that works together. But if you don't have the goals and then you don't have it tied into a why, the plan right from that point is destined to fail because you don't have the key component of motivation.
That is so true, and I want to get into that, but I want to let Joe get in one more question if you have time, Joe.
An example or two. What kinds of whys? I mean, everyone might say, well, I want to make $1 million, but is that the kind of why you're talking about?
Well, what I'll do is when I'm working with someone, and pretty much when I start out with coaching, what I'll do is I'll ask someone, what is their goal? And they'll give me a number. And I'll say, why is that their goal? So they'll say, I want to make $1 million, or I want to make 100,000, or 200, or 500,000. And I'll ask them, why do you want to make that amount? And they'll give me general statements like, I want to be more comfortable, I want to have a better life, I want to be able to buy things. And that being that vague doesn't get you anywhere. And it's amazing that when I try to get people to be specific, they struggle with it. They struggle with it because they've never really thought in that way. And just to give a simple example, one of the things I do in my live events is I ask the audience, I say, I want you to write down on a piece of paper how much money, it doesn't matter what date we're at. I say, 12 months from now, let's assume that 12 months from now you're going to get a W-2. How much would you like it to say from today, 12 months from now? I go, write down that number. Give me a second. And then I ask them, I go, now I want you to write down the number that you're absolutely committed to making. And then they write down that number. And I will tell you that traditionally, 70% or more of the people in that room, as soon as I use the word commitment, their income number goes down.
Yeah.
And then when I ask them, I go, why does that happen? And then you start getting like a little laughter, like that uncomfortable laughter and a little bit of hemming and hawing. But the reason why the number changed is because the commitment number, they understand how that relates to their life. The want number, they don't. But top producers, it's amazing. Top producers, their numbers are always the same.
So let's talk about the why. I mean, why do you think that is so difficult for people who, when you can't talk and nail them down to commitment, is it a lack of a plan? You do a lot of consulting and strategy, so is it a lack of a plan or clearly seeing what to do? Is that the issue? I mean, when you talk about what you're training at National Mortgage Professional University. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the reason why, and this is just my own feelings as to why people struggle with it, is because, one, they've never really thought of things in terms of a why. They just kind of do things. And two, it's in the back of people's heads, there's always, well, what if I try and it, or what if I do it and I don't make it? What if I fail? So there's almost a protective mechanism with some people, not all people, but it's a protective mechanism that they're just so used to living their lives, and maybe their life is a life of survival, that they don't know what to do. And see, right now, what's very interesting, which kind of brings us a little bit further into the conversation, if I can just go there for a second, is that the market's changing. We all know that. I mean, listen to the first half of the program, and we know what rates have been doing. the you-know-what's hitting the fan in a bunch of companies right now, because if they are have been dependent upon refis, or even if a pipeline represents 40% or 30% of your business, that is a significant drop-off based upon market changes. So
right.
What's happening now is all of a sudden people are saying, well, we got to go get more purchase business. And kind of like, no, duh, of course you do. But here's the thing. Now they have to make a plan, which is actually the third component of the five components of a business plan.
Right.
They have to make a plan, and they have to schedule it. Okay? So they make a plan, and they say, you know, it could be something as, I'm going to make more realtor calls. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I hear this from people. They say, the market's changing, you know, but I'm committed to my goals, so I'm going to do whatever it takes. And we've all heard that statement. I'm going to do whatever it
right.
takes. And my response to that is, that's great. How do you schedule that? And then you get a
yep.
deer in the headlight look.
I think that's – so I want to go back to the why thing, and then I want to get into the five components a little bit
sure.
more depth. You went to the third one a little bit. I want to talk about the why. Several people have texted me. I'd like to understand what goes into Hawaii, into why. What are the components? How do you lead people, those that are struggling? I do the same thing. I ask, why are you in business? What is your reason? And I get oftentimes I'm in a business to make money. Well, then money should be a result. If you've listened to Patrick Lencioni or any of the other, I mean, money is a result. It's not the reason why. Unless you're a hedge fund and your product and your result is just making money, money should be a result of doing your job well or operating in your why successfully. So how do you get people to open up to understand what their why was? We got a lot of text messages coming into me on that. By the way, if you want to text me at 512-632-2900, 512-632, and I shared that. I forgot to share that earlier, Ron, so people can text me with their questions, and I'll interject them. So go ahead.
And a lot of people struggle with it. So in the short time we have, I'm going to go as far as I can, and I'm also going to share a story which is going to really illustrate it. But
okay.
What happens is when it comes to business and goals, people are approaching it from a logical standpoint. The thing is, though, our driving force is not logic, it's emotion. So if I'm working with someone, I'm going to ask questions like, okay, they say this is their goal, I'll say why. And I'll say, oh, because I'll be more comfortable. I'm like, why do you want to be more comfortable? And like a little a kid, you know,
just
if you say
drill,
no,
drill,
no,
why?
But then what we're actually going for is everything we do is to experience an emotion. So
yeah.
The person who buys the BMW, it's not because they need transportation. That's logical. Okay, they could go out and get a smart car. That's transportation too. Why are they getting a BMW? Because there's a feeling that is associated with it. Why does an individual say, I want to make sure my children do not have to pay for college. They're going to go to college. They're going to have no student loans. So I am saving from today forward to make sure that when they become 17 or 16 or whatever year they're going to go to college, that I've got all the money. They don't have to worry about it because to me, as a great parent, I want to give them a great head start without debt. Now, we could say, Ron, that's just logical, but it's not. It's driven by emotion. So when we're working in our business, we have to understand that the emotions that are driving us every single day, the paycheck, I mean, there are a lot of zombies in this world that go to wake up every day, they go to work, they get a paycheck, and their why, this is how deep they go, their why is, I'm getting a paycheck so I can keep the roof over my head. Now, if I were to ask that person, I could be that little kid again, why? Well, why is it important for you to keep a roof over your head? And eventually it's going to come down to feelings and emotions. And the story
yep.
that I wanted to share with you, which I share with a lot of clients, so now I'm sharing it to the world, is I have a client, she's the owner of a branch company in Northern California. And she's been a client of mine for many years. And when we first started, I had given her an audio program I had recorded a number of years ago called Create My Future. And as my clients get access to that program, and I said, I just want you to listen to the first part out of the four. So it's about 30 minutes, and I said, just make sure you do the assignment. So long story short, she listened to the program. She comes back on. She goes, Ron, I've been coached before. I've been you know, doing things before, and I'll tell you, I wrote things down on this sheet of paper as far as my goals, and I know I'm not going to do them. I said, okay, well, that wasn't the response I was looking for, but okay. And at least she was honest. So I said to her, I go, let me ask you a question. I go, do you like the mortgage business? She goes, I love the mortgage business. I say, great. Forget about the mortgage business for a second. I go, what's the most important thing to you in your life? And without batting an eye, she goes, my relationship with my husband. I said, tell me about it. So she started telling me about her relationship with her husband, and her husband is her best friend. She loves her kids, but she was focused on her husband and that relationship. And you could hear the excitement and the emotion building. So I said to her, I go, great. I go, today, with your current income, are you able to do all the things that you would like to do with him? She goes, no. So I said, well, what would be those things that you would love to do with your husband if money wasn't an issue? And she started listing all these other things down. Some were materialistic, some were practical, some were, you know, the kids' college. I mean, there was all these different things, but she was excited about it. And then I said to her these words, and I said, do you understand that the mortgage business that you said you love is the vehicle to make all of these dreams come true? And she was silent for 30 seconds on the phone, and David, you know, Dave, Joe, everybody who's on this call knows that 30 seconds on the phone is forever. 30 seconds
a long time.
It's forever. but I knew I couldn't say anything. And then she said to me, she goes, Ron, she goes, you helped me more in 30 minutes than 6 months of my previous coaching program. Because I don't believe in coaching, and this works for some people. It doesn't work for me, which is why I don't do it. The person who's got to be pushing behind that person every day, like, did you make your calls? Did you do this? Did you do this? Did you do this? Which to me is like babysitting. I don't do that. What I want to do is I believe when you understand your why, you are then driven. And I'm not a martial arts expert, and I'm sure there are some that are on this call, but the discipline of Aikido is you use other people in battle, you use other people's energy against
them. Right.
Well, in business, I'm not going to use it against you, but I want to use your energy to move you forward. And if I understand what your driving energy is, then all I got to do is tap into it. And the way you do that is by asking great questions.
I think the Socratic process of asking questions, Socrates is where we get the word Socratic process. It's a process. Socrates was known for asking a lot of questions. Is that the basis for how you go about it? And I'm looking at the clock. I can't believe we are already almost out of time here. So
I know.
I want to explain to people how you go about your coaching and what do you think it's unique from others that are out there?
There are a couple of things. One, I'm all about questions. So everything that I do is a lot of questions, but it's not just money questions. It's not just tactical questions. It's the emotional questions. It's the driving questions. And then we get into how do you want to build your business, which leads me to I don't have a one-size-fits-all. David, you've known me for many years. I don't have coaches that work for me. Okay?
Yeah.
I do all the coaching myself. And I don't want to sound arrogant in any way, shape, or form, and you know I'm not. But I'm selective in who I work with because I don't want to just bring anyone into the program to set it up to fail. I want to set them up to fail. So what we do is there's actually an interview process that we both go through. I do a free introductory coaching session. We try to figure out, are we a right fit? And also, can I help you? Because if I can't help you, then there's no point in
going forward,
You know, so
what are some of the reasons I can just beg, I can feel questions. In fact, they're coming in. This one just came in. I anticipated it. Is how do you know if someone is right to work with? I'm thinking that person, in fact, I know this person who just wrote that is a branch manager, very successful branch manager. He's struggling a little bit and picking the right people. He's growing. How do you know? How would you advise a branch manager to know if someone is the right fit? Then we have to wrap it up with that, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's not an easy question.
No.
I mean, you have to know the questions to ask. You have to know how to read their tonality. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of us already have those instincts. We just don't pay attention to them the way we're supposed to. a lot of times what we do is, and this is one of the things that I coach managers with in the interview process, when I help them really set up their interview process. I mean, I actually, there's a national bank that I was actually coaching a manager for a national bank. I actually helped him put together his interview process, and I said, you work for this bank and they don't teach you this? He's like, nothing like this. He goes, they just tread on their name. He doesn't think that we need to do anything else, and he found that when he started implementing this, it helped. Here's my point, and the reason why I'm sharing that is because when you ask the right questions, not just about income, not just about, you know, your goals, not just about your history and your track record, pay attention how they speak to you. Pay attention to the words they use. Pay attention to the tone. And those are things. Now, I'm a chameleon. I work with a lot of different type of people. There's no two people that I strategically work with together. I mean, everybody
is
treated that are alike. So the managers, what they have to do is they have to ask these questions. And then what you also have to do is two more things. One, go with your gut. And two, stop talking. Managers oftentimes, because they want to recruit, and I know there's everybody's laughing at this now. What the interview consists of is a manager trying to convince someone to come on board.
Yeah.
So they do all the talking.
Yep.
It's akin to begging.
Well, there's so much information. We're not going to be able to get through all of it, but you do a number of sessions or special events. And if I understand correctly, you have one that's coming up for 2017. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I can. And it's actually coming up tomorrow.
It's coming up tomorrow for 2017. Oh, okay.
It's a 2017 purchase business plan and boot camp. It's a 90-minute program, which it's about going through all of the steps. It's actually, in this case, it's 7 steps of really detailing out everything you need to do to really put together a business plan the right way. And it's a 90-minute program. You can actually find out more about it at nmpulive.com. So it's just like NMPU, universitylive.com. And if you actually use the code NMPU, you'll save $100 off of it. And the great thing about it is, as many people as you can put in a room is as many people that can watch it for one price. The price is $299.
So,
for $100 off, it's $199. And you can fill your whole room with all of your salespeople.
So, that's excellent.
Yeah.
So give me a little
some
of the flavor, some of the things you're – 2 minutes – with the 2 minutes you got left, the flavor, some of the things you're going to be covering in that again real quickly.
Well, the flavor is the how to build your business plan the right way, how to set it up, all the things that are necessary to make sure that you achieve your goals. It's also going to be uncovering demonstrating the most common mistakes that people make when they're building their business plan. I mean, I will tell you, I know you have a lot of leaders on this program, and this is basically going to be almost like a blueprint of exactly the pieces that you need to put together. I mean, we didn't even get to all the components that I was going to talk about in the program because of time, but there are little things that make a big difference. And just to give one quick example, if I could. If someone sets a goal, if we don't improve their skill set, what are the chances on them achieving that goal that's higher than what they did the previous year?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Excellent
point. It's going to be a lot of things that's going to make people aware of what they need to do to achieve their business plan. And it's great work for a manager to work with their sales team on.
For those that want to get signed up for it, we got to wrap this up. How do they can learn about it? Where do they go? What website? And how can they people reach you? What's the most effective way?
Okay. To find out about the program, you just go to nmpulive.com. All the information's there, and you can sign up right from the website. The discount is NMPU, so make sure you write that code in there so this way you can save some money. As far as reaching me directly, they can reach me at Ron V, at
V as in Victor.
NMPMediaCorp.com. Ron V at NMPMediaCorp.com. And they can also call, I'm just going to give the office phone, which comes directly to me. they can call 888-979-6678 and then just go to extension 801 and that'll ring directly to me. 888-979-6678, extension 801.
If you're looking to get your plan figured out and getting operational, be sure to listen or dial in, become a part of this event. It's a great event. Ron, you'll always learn. I always learn something from Ron. We have a lot of our similar philosophies, how we're aligned. I love the – I use jiu-jitsu or whatever the martial arts is using the energy of others. And then also, you know, understanding your why. It's one of my favorite questions to ask people, and I get the same blank stare. So want to spend some more time talking to you, Ron, when I got to. We've got to just do a better job of staying in touch with each other. I'm very grateful that you took time this week to come and join us. Have a great rest of the week, great holidays, and I hope you have an awesome event tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Dave, for having me on the program, and we're going to talk soon. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, friend. Appreciate it. Again, folks, we've had as our guest Ron Vainberg with National Mortgage Professional U, NMPU. Check it out. Great amount of resources there. I write for that blog. I do a blog writing and also post an article in their magazine every month. So be sure to check it out. The Bermans are Andrew and Joel Berman, great friends, and we really appreciate them as well. Next week's program is Casey Crawford. It's the first of a two-part series. It's part one of a two-part series on how your company can give back to your community. We're talking about it's the holidays. The reason for the season is the giving and being a blessing and giving back. And we're going to be bringing Casey Crawford on of Movement Mortgage. He does a fabulous job of doing that. And then we've got Kevin Stitt, who will be giving us a talk on that on the week of Christmas. So be very good. Be sure to come back and tune in next week. Appreciate you being a part of us and telling others about the program. And we'll look forward to having you back here next week.
This has been Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin' of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us again next week, and thank you for listening.